Okay, this Shabbos is a double parasha, the longest laning, in fact, of any kriya on Shabbos, but again, the parashias, these two parashias, Matos Masai, that become one when we lane them together. Matos is 112, Bolos and Masai is 132, so that gives you 244 psukim. It's also Shabbos Chazak. Chazak, we have a few times a year. Most of them are during difficult periods. Bereshis, for example, is always Vayechi in the vicinity of Asara B'Teves, which is one of the very sad days. Vayikrod is during the Yemei HaSfira, also a difficult time. And this one, Bamidbar, is during the 3 weeks. What's the chizuk that we get from the last pasuk? The Baal Koreh reads the last pasuk and he says, Chazak, Chazak, v'niz chazed. Eila ha-mitzvois v'ha-mishpatim. And he ends off, Ba'arvois mayav al yardein yurechoi. Chazak, Chazak, v'niz chazed. So what's the chizuk that we're getting from that pasuk? In many ways, this is really the last parasha, because Devarim is considered a separate entity. Devarim, the Gemara says in Megillah, Moshe mi piatzmai. Amara, even though some learn it's even higher than the first four, but it's certainly considered a different sefer. Even Lagabi Halacha, Mishnah Torah has different dinim than the rest of the Torah does. Lagabi Smuchim and Mukta Mamuchar. So, in some respects, this is really the last parasha. And in fact, the whole sefer Devarim was said in 36 days, which you don't find that by any of the other svarim. Bereishis spans thousands of years. Shemais. Hundreds. Vayikra is all halachas. Bamidbar certainly spans many years. Devarim is 36 days. Eile ha-Devarim. Eile equal to 36. So Devarim is a separate sefer. The fifth sefer of Chumash is a unique sefer. So for many, many ways, this is really the last sedra and the last pasuk of the Chumash, which ends with Eile ha-Mitzvois v'ha-Mishpatim v'arveis mayav al yarden yirechei chazak chazak v'niz chazak. So what's the chizak here? Now these two parashiyos, Matos and Masai, are always read during the 3 weeks, what we call the Bein HaMetzorim. Kol Raitfeha Hisiguha Bein HaMetzorim. So certainly there must be a connection to the time that we read these parashiyos, as the Shalach HaKadosh says, that the parashiyos read at a given time are connected to that time. One obvious connection is the topic that the parasha begins with is that of Nedarim. And this is a continuation, really, of last week's parasha. Pinchas ends off with Eile tahasu l'Hashem b'mayadechem levad min nidrechem. So you have Nedarim, and then you have Nedarim that one vows to bring on Yom Tov, and then you have the topic of Nedarim here. And we know that the parashas are connected. This is a continuation of Pinchas, as we'll soon see, Melchemes Midyan, was actually run by Pinchas. Pinchas was the Mashuach Melchama. He was the general. He was the one who went to battle in the Battle of Midian, continuing what he started in Parshas Pinchas. So Pinchas sort of overflows into this Parsha as well. Nedarim, Shvuais, oaths remind us of Golus, because Golus is an oath. In Golus, we're bound by an oath. There are the Shalosh Shvuais that the Gemara speaks about in Ksubis. Not getting into the topic, it's a difficult topic, but one of the oaths which really everyone basically agrees on is that you can't really end the Golus yourself. You can't rebel against the nations if it's considered a rebellion. We're not talking about self-defense now, but we're talking about rebellion. There's such a thing as Shalom Yimredu Ba'umais, Lezgarais Ba'umais, any unnecessary antagony is not supposed to be done. They're not supposed to go around fighting Goyim here in America or in any place where we live. We try to live peacefully among the Goyim. After all, we are in Golus. That's because of an oath that Hashem made with us, where he made us swear that we won't rebel against the nations and that the nations will not make the Jews suffer more than they should. And then he said that they didn't keep to their end of the deal, and therefore we don't have to keep to our end anymore, and that's another debate. But when we hear about Shavuos and Nedarim, it reminds us of Golus. When someone makes a neder, he's bound. You see, at the end of Parshas Matos, where the Torah repeats the Meraglim story, which is another interesting connection to the time we're in now, because the time we're in now is all connected to the story of the Meraglim. Not for the Meraglim, there wouldn't have been a Tisha B'Av in the first place. So the story of the Meraglim is repeated in Matos and again in Devarim, in detail, even with more details that are discussed originally in Parshas Shlach, because this is the time to talk about it, because this is when it happened, which also shows us how the psukim, the parshis that we read at a given time, have to do with that time. This is the time they came back. They came back on the eighth day of the 9 days, and then they cried, and because of that, Tisha B'Av became a day of crying forever, if not forever, until now. Atam b'chisam b'chiyah shel chinam. I'll give you a reason why to cry. So when the Torah talks to us about the Meraglim here, Moshe Rabbeinu repeats it and he says, Vayichar af Hashem b'yom hahu, Vayishava leimur. Hashem got angry and he swore. And he swore that none of those living at that time are going to go into Eretz Yisrael. And he says, Vayichar af Hashem b'yisrael, Vayinieim b'amidbar. Vayinieim, Rashi says, Vayitaltalem k'moy novonod. Travel, you're going to go from place to place, you're not going to be comfortable, you're not going to be secure, you're going to be going from place to place. That's Golas. Al-Kain, that's what we read in Eicha, Lenida Hayasa, which one interpretation of Lenida means Novanot, not being at home, but having to go from one country to the other, one Golas after another. So Golas is associated with oaths. On the other hand, Geula is when the oaths are annulled. Certainly we know that when Mashiach will come, we're not going to be bound by those oaths anymore. Then we'll be able to enter all the territories that don't belong to us, including Amon, Moav, Edom, which will be ours when Mashiach will come, which we already got a taste of it when Reuven and Gad took over the land of Sichon and Og, which they took over from Amon and Moav, as we see in this week's parasha at the end, with the story of Omikne Rav, Lubnei Reuven and Lubnei Gad. So as we enter this time period, the Torah talks to us about vows and oaths, but it talks to us about annulling the vows, Heta Nedarim, Hafaras Nedarim, that it is possible for one to annul an oath. In fact, this is what got Tzidkiyahu in trouble, which Rashi and Eicha brings it down, Yeshvu La'aretz, which the Gemara says in Nedarim, the Masechta that those who are learning, the Afyomi are learning now, that Tzidkiyahu swore to Nebuchadnezzar that he won't tell anyone what he saw. He saw Nebuchadnezzar eating a rabbit that was alive. That's what the Gemara, Arneves Chaya. Wasn't cooked totally, whatever, was alive. It was very embarrassing for anyone to know that that's what Nebuchadnezzar did. So Nebuchadnezzar made Tzidkiyahu swear, because he saw, don't tell anyone about it. Later, Tzidkiyahu felt that he has to publicize it. He wanted to get Nebuchadnezzar out. He wanted Nebuchadnezzar, because he knew Nebuchadnezzar was going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara, the Mefarshim explained why he felt that if he should publicize it. So he went to the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin were matan neder for him. They said, it's okay, the neder is over, mutterlach, mutterlach. And then when he found out about it, Nebuchadnezzar, and he called Tzidkiyahu and he said, didn't you swear to me that you're not going to tell? He says, I got a heter. From who? From the Chachamim. So that's when he called the Chachamim in, and they were punished. It says in the Midrashim what he did to them. First he made them sit on the floor, which we say in Eicha, Yeshvu La'aretz, and then he dragged them on horses. The whole story that you read about, Benegeh to the Churban. So this is a Churban-related issue, because this leads eventually to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and to the exile of Tzidkiyahu because of Hafaras Nedarim, which is the topic that we discussed here at the beginning of the parasha. But Beruchnius, also on another vein, this is a very comforting concept, because that means that Hashem could also be made for Neder. Hashem could also be Mata Neder. It says, Layachel Devaroi, one cannot annul his own Neder, but you go to a Chacham can do it for you. So it's like sort of, how does Hashem annul his own vow? We do it for him. Tzadikim do it for him. Meaning, when we do tshuva, and when we daven, and we beg Hashem to end the galus, and we do what's necessary to end the galus, then Hashem's vow is annulled. And then, of course, the oaths that we're bound by are no longer in effect. And then we rule, we have a Beis HaMikdash, we go to Eretz Yisrael, there's no problem of Shalayalu Bachayma, there's no problem of Shalayimra Duba Umais, there's no problem. Because the Kates is here. And many hold that in recent years there's been a lessening of that in certain ways, especially as we are entering a different phase. That's already a topic that's not for my jurisdiction. It's just interesting to know that there are different opinions here, and there isn't one opinion like some people think. There are different opinions. It's not the Arik Val Yavar, and it's certainly not from the Yud Gimel Ikrim, like some people think. But it's an important topic, and the Yesh V'Yesh, the different opinions how this works with the Shalosh Shavuos. So anyway, B'derech Remez Beruchni is Al Kol Ponim. When we enter this stage, we are already comforted, knowing that despite that we're in Golos, and we're reminded of it as we enter the 3 weeks and then the 9 days, we know that the oath can be annulled. Hafaras Nedar. How is that going to happen? So what's the reason why we're in Golos? Why? We have to ask ourselves, because what do we have to be working on during this time period? Ending it, not preparing for how we're going to fast on Tisha B'Av, what kind of suppository we're going to take, and how we're going to be able to make it easy, and it's a nitcha, and how are we going to, and when are we, going to be able to go swimming the day after and take a haircut and shave? That's not what this is all about. We're supposed to not be preparing for the 9 days. On the contrary, we're supposed to be doing whatever we can to make sure that it doesn't happen, that we could shave tomorrow, not shave, or take a haircut, or that we can go swimming on Tisha B'Av. That we should be able to eat and feast on Tisha B'Av. Of course, you have to learn the halachas. You have to know what you're not allowed to do, what you're allowed to do. Of course, halacha is halacha. But what we're really supposed to be doing during this time is trying to work on this, the siba. What's the siba? Mipnei chata'enu galinu me'aretzenu. Galus is only because of chet. So if we get rid of the chet, there's no more galus. Galus is not something that we brought upon we went into exile, and we can end it on our own. We can't end it on our own either. Some people think you could do that. You can't end the galus. Hashem is the only one through Mashiach Tzidkenu is going to end the galus. But how can we help or lend a hand? So if we figure out or try to study what is it that brought us into galus in the first place. So we all know what the Gemara tells us in Yuma, that it's sinas chinam. It's the hatred, unnecessary hatred, baseless hatred. That's why we're in Golos. And there's no other reason. I mean, we work on a lot of things, but that is really the root cause of why we're in Golos. Machlaikas, sinas chinam, groups not tolerating one another, and of course it's all the shame shamayim. That's why we're in Golos. And when that ends, we're out of Golos. Hopefully we end it on our own, not that it should happen because of a melech kosher kahaman, or some other situation, but we should figure out on our own and end it, and then the geula can be bechesed uverachamim. Now it's yodua that this chaydish, Menachem Av, that's upon us, that's going to start this Friday, is the month associated with Shimon. Shimon is Av. Every shevet, every month is connected to another shevet. And Shimon is the one who brought about L'shem Shamayim, but he brought about the sinas chinam that we suffer from till today, basically, because it's all because of the machlokes of Mechiras Yosef. Yosef and the brothers is the root cause of all the division among Jews till today, till Tovshin Ayin Hei, till Chav Ches Tamas Tovshin Ayin Hei. And therefore, even when we see machlokes between groups and Gedolim, and everyone says the other side is wrong and we're right, go back to the first machlokes in history. They were all tzaddikim. All the brothers were tzaddikim, and so was Yosef, of course. In fact, Yosef was bigger than they were. They misunderstood him, and they were going to kill him. So we see that. So it shouldn't surprise us then that in latter generations there's machlokes among those who are not as great as Yosef and the brothers. And for some reason, there are those who still take sides. They're all great, and it has to be studied. It has to be understood in that light. Just like we don't understand what that was about, we don't understand what any machlokes is about, really, until today. And machlokes to Shem Shemayim doesn't really exist anymore anyway, because that ended many, many years ago. So when we study the root cause of why we're in Golos, then we can possibly do something to end it. Now, it's Yodua that Chodesh Menachem Av was created with the letter Tes. Shimon was the one who on the Choshen had a stone that was called Pitda, Peites Dalet Hei. Peites Dalet Hei is the name of a certain stone that belonged to Shimon. Ruvain was Odem, we spoke about it last month, that's Tammuz, and Shimon is Pitda. Now, the letter Tes is 9. Tes is equal to 9. And we know that in this month it's the 9 days, and especially the 9th day, Tes B'Av, that fell the most of any day during the year. Nafla Ateres Roshenu. The Churban Beis HaMikdash, first and second, and the Beitar, and the Gzeira that the Jews can't go into Eretz Yisrael, and the plowing of Yerushalayim, all happen on Tes B'Av. Now, that means Tes was taken into captivity. The letter Tes was taken into captivity. Tes really means good. Tes is Toiv. First Tes in Chumash is in the word Toiv. S-O-R Ki Toiv. The hidden light, but that was put away for the future. So Tess had a Yerida. And Shimon is responsible for that, because Shimon was the one who said to Levi, the dreamer is coming, look, let's kill him and throw him into the pit. So the tikkun for Chodesh Menachem Av has to be to rectify that which Shimon caused. No sin aschinam, Ahav aschinam. And then we redeem the tess. Pitada is the same letters as Pada tess. We can redeem the tess. And that tess comes out of captivity, and that means Tisha B'Av becomes a Yom Tov, a Mayed, that's called a Mayed. And Tisha B'Av ends up being the happiest day of the year, which is really what it is. It's just now concealed. And because it's the happiest day, because it's the birth of Mashiach, is now it's the saddest day because it fell. When something is very, very high, it falls lower than that which is not so high. The fact that Tisha B'Av fell so low is only an indicator of how high really Tisha B'Av is. The Pnimius Tisha B'Av is a day that is associated with the third Beis HaMikdash. That's why if you take the milui of the word Tisha B'Av, that's the inside letters, Tav is Yud Vav, and the Shin is Yud Nun, the inside letters of Tisha B'Av is Begematria Bayis HaShlishi. And the Bayis HaShlishi will be revealed when Sinas Chinam ends. Now, every Ummah, every nation is represented by a different Midah Ro'a, as the Svarim speak to us about. Midyan is a big story in this week's parasha. Nekoyim Nikmas B'nei Yisrael Me'ez HaMidyanim. Who are the Midianites, and why the revenge, and why the anger, and why the hatred? Last week again, we had Soror es HaMidyanim v'hikisa moizom. And it was Pinchas who goes to battle this war. And Rashi asks, why Pinchas? What about his father who was still alive, Elazar? Why not Moshe Rabbeinu? Why Pinchas? So one of the reasons Rashi says, besides that because he started it, he killed Cosby and Zimri, let him finish. Rashi brings another reason, and this is related to what we're talking about now. But before we get to the reason that Rashi says, let's understand what Midyan represents. Midyan, Rashi himself tells it to us right here. Why was the revenge against Midyan and not against Moav? Remember, it was the daughters of Moav who were sent to sin with the Jews. Balak Melech Moav hires Bilam. That's the reason why the Moavites not only hired Bilam to curse us and they got us to sin, and yet there's no mention here of any revenge against Moav, only Midyan. And Rashi gives two reasons. One is because the Moavim at least had a reason in their mind. They were scared of us. They thought we were coming to attack them, so we can't really blame them. They thought we were occupiers. So they have this notion, they think that we're coming to attack them. So because of that, it doesn't say attack Moav. We're not ready for that yet. Especially that they had a reason. But Midyan, he said, Nisabru al Riv Loilahem. Midyan had no reason to get involved. It was only because they enjoy fighting. They love instigating fights. There are those who like to do that. There are those who watch two people fighting, and instead of stopping it, they cheer them on. They enjoy the fight. People go watch. But people watch boxing matches, wrestling matches. People love seeing. It's a certain type of taiva that people have, an enjoyment to watch people fight. But Midyan, that was their whole. That was what they're all about. Midyan is fighting, and the reason for it, where it's hinted in the word Midyan, the Svarim say, because Midyan comes from the word Modoin Umeriva. Modoin means to fight. Din, anger, fighting, anger, hatred. That's what Midyan is. When Moshe Rabbeinu, who once spoke about this, just to mention it, but kids, so Moshe Rabbeinu was also searching why the Jews had to suffer in Mitzrayim so much. And then when he heard Dasan and Aviram slandering, and he heard the way they talk, and he saw Jews are fighting, he says, now I know why. Now I know what it is. Hadibur, Lashon Hara, the Machlaikas, the Sinas Chinam. And where does Moshe Rabbeinu run to? He runs to Midian. What did he go to Midian for? He didn't know the Pashtas, he didn't know Yisroi was there. He didn't know that his future wife was there. In fact, in Midrashim it says he went to other places first. So, what was the purpose of going to Midian? So, perhaps because Midian is the source of Machlaikas, of Sinna, of Meriva. So he went there to live there to humble the Tumah of that country. So it, when if the Tumah of that country is humbled, then by the Jews that Midah will go down. That's many Tzadikim used to do. That's a known thing. Tzadikim used to go live in certain places, not where you would expect them to live, because they knew that certain iniquities, certain Tumah came from that place. They would live there, keep Torah and Mitzvahs there, do certain Yehudim there, and that would help bring down the Tumah, and then humble the Tumah, and then it would help that Klal Yisrael wouldn't be as affected. So you do it. Many came to America here, way before we were here, way before the influx of Jews came, also to do that. The other places that Tzadikim went. So Moshe went to Midian, to calm the Tumah of Midian. And by Yomer Hashem al Moshe, b'Midian, leich shuv Mitzrayim, you accomplish what you had to, go back, yimesu kolu anoshim. It means that Dasan and Aviram died. Doesn't mean literally they died, it means they got poor. But there's also the interpretation that the Dasan and Avirams have calmed down. There's no more, Dasan and Avirams aren't quarreling anymore. Meaning to say, the Jews have rectified it. Otherwise, why were they redeemed? If that's the reason why we had to be in Golus, because Achein Noida HaDover, so what happened in the interim? That now, okay, now go and redeem them. What happened? Because they all started learning Chafetz Chaim, or whatever it was in those days, and they started to be more careful in the Shmiras HaLoshen, and they stopped fighting, and they got along, and they didn't look at what type of yarmulke the other one was wearing, or what type of hat he was wearing, and they got together, and because they got together, they was like to be redeemed. That was first after Moshe went to Midian. That's about Yom Hashem al Moshe b'Midian. The Torah is Medayik. Gemara, yes, why it says it again, for a different reason, but the Diyak here is Moshe goes to Midian and Hashem tells him, in Midian you accomplish what you had to. He married a Midianite woman. The same reason Shimshon married Plishti woman was also, in order to calm the Tumah of the Plishti. There were many times Tzadikim would go, Ad Kedei Kach, Shlomo married a thousand wives. Why? What was Shlomo like? The way the Goyim described him, Shlomo HaMelech is a Tzadik Nisgav. The one who wrote Shir Hashirim is a Kodesh Kadoshim. Shlomo is into marrying women from all different nations. What he was trying to do was to humble the Tumah of all the nations by a tzaddik living with a woman from another nation. Of course, he was Megayah then, obviously, and that's not a heter for us to go and do that. It's only big people who can do that. So Shimshon did that, Shlomo HaMelech did that, and Moshe Rabbeinu did that. He married Sipaira. That's why Zimri says to him, as we read in the parasha 2 weeks ago, Bas Yisroi mi yitira lecha? Who allowed you to marry Bas Yisroi? She's a Midianite. If anything, just like you're not allowed to marry the Moavim, you shouldn't be allowed to marry a Midianite either. Which many say that's what Zimri was trying to do. That's why Zimri married Cosby, lived with Cosby. Also was to do that thing, also to try to calm down the Tumah of Moav, Midian, which is a different topic. So, Midian represents Machloikas. The Torah tells you, you want to bring the Geula? It's the 3 weeks. It's almost the 9 days. You want to end the Golus? You want to nullify the vow? Hafaras Nadarim, that's the first topic in the parasha. Nekoim Nikmas B'nei Yisrael Me'ez Hamidyonim. Nekoim Nikmas is B'gematria Tisha B'Av. You want to end Tisha B'Av? You want to make Tisha B'Av a Yom Tif, which is going to be? Nekoim Nikmas B'nei Yisrael Me'ez Hamidyonim. End, take revenge from Midyan. Battle Machloikis. Make an Asifa. It doesn't have to be an internet Asifa. Make an Asifa against Machloikis. Make an asifa against sinas chinam. Make an asifa where every single Jew is welcome, every group, no matter where, what they belong, and gather together all Jews. Kenoises kol ayudim inavi atzokim, like Esther did. It wasn't to fight anything. It was just simply to gather Jews together. That itself brought the Yeshua in the time of Purim. Fight Midian, hey Cholzo, and everyone, even Shevet Levi had to participate. This is the only war where even Shevet Levi had to join. It's an elef lamata, l'chol mata is Yisrael. There's no one that's exempt. Every Shevet had to be there, especially Shevet Levi, the Tzadikim, the Talmid Chachamim, the Yeshivalite. Sometimes they have to come, they have to get more involved in Achdus than anyone else does. They have to know what Achdus is. Shevet Levi, everyone has to be there. And v'kachava, that's what they did. And they battled Midian, and Moshe Rabbeinu is upset with them, as we'll see later, for not finishing the job. And Bala Klal Kas and Bala Klal Tois, Rashi brings later, Elazar had to intervene and teach them the halachas of Giula and Ochrim, because Moshe, it says, forgot because he got angry. Why did he get angry? Why did Moshe get angry? If Midian is being annihilated, there should be no anger anymore, because anger, kas, hatred, all comes from Midian. That itself, the Torah is telling us, that it wasn't completed. The job wasn't completed because they didn't kill everyone. They didn't kill all of the Midianim, it says. Moshe Rabbeinu was upset. The same thing like with Amalek. Shaul was supposed to wipe out the whole Amalek. He let one person live and the animals, and we suffer till today. It sounds the same thing over here too. They didn't wipe out Midian completely. So Moshe gets angry. Moshe wouldn't get angry if Midian was totally eradicated. There's no more caste. Well, you could say Moshe knew that they didn't eradicate Midian because he got angry. The fact that there's still caste in the world. You didn't get rid of Midian. But certainly the message of the Torah here is that in order to be zoicha to the Geula, in order to end Tisha B'Av, in order to make it the great Yom Tov, which is, we spoke today about a Rosh Chodesh here, what the B'nai Yisoscha says, an amazing thing, Hol Arichas, that in the future, Leil Tisha B'Av is going to be like Leil Pesach. It's going to be this another Seder. Leil Pesach, we celebrate the Seder of going out of Mitzrayim. We talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim, Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Leil Tisha B'Av, he says, we're going to have a Seder and we're going to discuss and thank Hashem for the miracles of Yitzias America and Yitzias all the other Mekayimis throughout the globe, because it'll be a much greater Seder, a much greater Sipur, a much greater Yom Tov. Tisha B'Av will be greater than Pesach, and it's interesting, Tisha B'Av always falls out the same day that Pesach falls out. The first day of Pesach is always the same day Tisha B'Av falls out, At Bash Ki Yadua Desimen. So the Torah itself is directing us, is guiding us over here, how to end it, how to turn it around, how to change the tes yomim, how to redeem the tes, pada tes, how to mesakein this chaydish of Shimon that who brought about, starting with Mechiras Yosef. And right after the topic of Milchemes Midian, which is the battle against Midian, the battle against Machloikas, we come to the story of Reuven and Gad, and the nine cities that the Torah talks to us about, of Yatarois, V'Divain, V'Yazer, V'Nimra, V'Cheshbain, and all the cities that the Torah talks to us about here, that were originally from Amon and Moav, conquered by Sichon and Og, and then they get transferred to Am Yisrael. Then we get these nations, then we get these cities. Nine cities. These nine cities were under the domain of Ammon and Moav. Now they're in our Rishus. The 9 days are now under the Shlita of Esav, under the Shlita of the Satan. The B'nai Yisoscha writes that Makas Dever was in Av. The fifth Makkah was in the fifth month. The fifth month is Av. The fifth Makkah was Dever. And there it says, Hine Yad Hashem Hoya B'miknecha. Hoya, Hevav Yud Hei. Hevav Yud Hei happens to be the Shem Havaya of this Chodesh. The Shem Havaya of Chodesh Av is Haskes Ushma Yisrael Hayoim, which is Rosh Hatevis Hoya, Hevav Yud Kei. And by Makas Dever it says, Hine Yad Hashem Hoya. And he says, Yad Hashem is 14 times Hashem's name. Yad is 14. 14 times Hashem's name, 14 times 26 is the Gematria 364, Hasatan. Because this month is under the Shlita of the Satan, which the Satan, incidentally, also has a tes. In the word Satan, you have a tes. It's like Nachash, but without the ches becomes a tes. Nachash, Satan, that's ches tes. That ches is Tammuz, and tes is Av. So this is the month where the Satan has Shlita, the Satan has power. Actually, it starts in Tammuz already, but especially the 9 days, and certainly Tisha B'Av. But in Makas Dever, it says, Vayosem Hashem Moyed Lemor, the only Makkah where it says the word Moyed. And we know Tisha B'Av is called a Moyed, Koro Alai Moyed. We don't say Tachron on Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av is going to be such a great Yom Tov that already now we feel it. It's the day in which Mashiach was born, the Redeemer. So it's interesting how Shimon is Zaycha that in his month, which is Av, the Redeemer who comes from Yehuda, is born. And Yehuda is Nisan. Nisan is Yehuda. Av is Shimon. We spoke about this today by Arichas. Anyone who wants to hear it can buy or get for free the CD. So the nine days are hinted here, because these nine, what happens to these nine cities is what's going to happen to the 9 days. The nine cities are transformed from the domain of Amon and Moav to Sichon and Og, then to us. The same will happen with the 9 days. The 9 days become ours, meaning that we're going to rule. The 9 days will be days of Simcha, days of joy, Sasa, and the Simcha, especially Tisha B'Av. If we do what we're supposed to end it, because why are there 9 days of Yogoyin V'Anocha? Why are there 9 days of sadness? Because, as the Gemara says, the Sinna, the Pirud, one of the reasons perhaps why this month is called Av, if there's anything that a father can't stand, is seeing his children fighting. An Av, a father, likes to see his children together. We just read it in the last psukim at the end of the previous parasha. Shmini Atzeres, Rashi says, is that one day when the children stay together with the father, because the father says, Kosha alai pridaschem. It's difficult for me to see you separating. And there, it doesn't mean that they're separating because of the machlokes. As Rashi brings it, Kibbonim haniftorim me'avihem. So, Av, the name of the month already suggests that Hashem is our Father. So, if He's our Father, we're His children. If we're His children, it's expected that we be together, that we be ba'achtus, so that He's proud of us, and He's proud to call us Father. Another reason, perhaps, why it's called Av is Yadua, that there are two relationships that we have with Hashem. One is that of a husband and a wife, and one is that of a father and a child. But there are many, many sources we see in Shir HaShirim and other places that we're referred to the wife and Hashem as the husband. So what did we lose because of Golus, because of Tisha B'Av, because of the Churban? Is Hashem no longer our father? No, He's no longer our husband, meaning temporarily there's a separation. There was a sort of a gerushin, a pirud. So, but the relationship of father and child, that's forever, that's unconditional. Hashem is, so meaning when we enter this month, at least we know, Av, He's still our father. We might have lost, for now at least temporarily, the special relationship we have with Hashem of that being husband and wife, but at least we know that He's still our father, and we can hint that in the pasuk here, Eile hachukim asher tziva Hashem es Moshe, bein ish le'ishtoi, bein Av levitoi. Knows whether the relationship is ish le'ishtai, whether the relationship is of levitai, you still have to keep the Torah and mitzvahs. Bin ureha beisaviha. No matter what, we're in Hashem's house. No matter what, He's with us. I saw an unbelievable tight from the Bnei Yisrael also. Chet chata Yerushalayim al kain lenida hayasa. So he says like this. He says all arayis. Well, every erva, not only you're not allowed to marry, you're not allowed to be in the same room with yichud, but a nida is different. She's an erva, and if you're married to her, so she's an erva, but you could be in the same room with her. He says, Hashem, the relationship we have with Hashem now is that of a nida. So there's a separation, but there's still yichud. That means Hashem is still with us. Because chet chata Yerushalayim, Hashem knows that any aver we do is really only a chet, which is b'shoigeik. He knows we don't really want to sin. He knows even those that averis that we do intentionally, it's really inadvertently, deep down, no Jew wants to do an aver. It's chet chata Yerushalayim. That's why lenida hayasa. That itself is the nechama. That's lenida, not any other erev. It's not like Hashem left us, that's it. He's still with us. There's still yichud. Bin ureha beis aviyah, He's still with us despite that we sin and despite everything that's going around. It's important to know that He's Avinu Sheva Shemayim no matter what. That doesn't change. The Chiddush Yerim said, the Gemara Darshan's on the Pasuk, Mikro'e Kodesh Asher Tikru'u Oysam. So the Gemara Darshan's Oysam is like Atem. Atem Afilu Shoigigin, Atem Afilu Muto, Afilu Mezidin. That means when Bezdin declares, when Rosh Chodesh is, whether they made a mistake or whether they even did it on purpose, it's Rosh Chodesh. Atem, in other words, indicates no matter what. So he said, Bonim Atem Lashem Elokechem. Atem, Afilu Shoyigen, Afilu Mezidin. Even if we sin Lahachis, we're still Hashem's children. And who sins Lahachis, really? Who sins Lahachis? I was reminded of an unbelievable story that I heard last week. of a, someone who knew how to deal with people, someone who was makarev people. You know, you think you hear these stories of kaifrim or people that are apikursim, and we got to throw them out the door, and that's it, that's the end. So listen to how a person dealt with this. There's a certain Rav, not going to go into names, an Eretz Yisrael, who gave a Gemara class to everyone, any type. He wanted everyone to come. Any type of yarmulke was there. Any type. And one Jew happened to come, and he was only there for 2-3 times, and then he didn't come anymore. So he met him a few days after. He met him in Tverya, in Eretz Yisrael. He met him someplace. He saw he was hanging around where he shouldn't, whatever. But then he went over to him. He said, you know, you came to my Gemara shiur. He said, yeah, you're Rabbi so-and-so. Come on. You know I don't belong in your Gemara shiur. He says, why not? He said, I'm a Holocaust survivor. And ever since the Holocaust, I gave everything up. I eat pork on Shabbos. So what would the reaction be? But most people would say, you're an apikairis, you're a chayte, you're a mummelahachas, you're a mummelateyoven, you're right, you don't belong in my shiur, goodbye, and you'll do tshuva, you'll come back. His reaction to him was, why do you only eat pork on Shabbos? How can you only eat pork on Thursday? Dafka on Shabbos, huh? Oh, so you know, you recognize that Shabbos is a big day. Yeshayim is Shabbos too. You know, I eat chicken on Shabbos. Okay, you eat pork on Shabbos. Then he went a step further. He said, you believe in Hashem just as much as I believe. Because if not, who are you angry at? You're obviously angry, right? The Holocaust got you angry. I understand that. So you're angry at God. If there's no God, you wouldn't be angry, right? So obviously you're angry. You're letting out your anger means you believe in Hashem. And more than that, you even know that Hashem controls the world, because if you didn't believe he controlled the world, then why are you angry at him? It's not his fault. Well, the Nazis did, they did it. If God doesn't control things, what are you angry at him for? So obviously you believe in Hashem, you know you believe that he controls everything, you're actually a Shayim Shabbos, you're more frum than I am. He ended up coming to the shir, and a man is a full-fledged religious person today. You have to know how to deal with even the biggest apikairis, the biggest kaifa be'ikar, deep down, every single Jew has a nitzitz hayahad, it's a yechidah shebenefesh, it's a ma'isa with the panavish rov, it's a yadua deka ma'isa. They should say this in the yeshiva world, it would help. The panavish rov was once in an airport, the plane got stuck somewhere, he had to stop off. And there was no one there but one Jew that he recognized in Israel, from Israel, who was a Knesset member, who wrote always very, very hateful articles against frum Jews. He was no known lover of... He was a secular Zionist and an anti-religious person. So most Rabbanim would stay away from a person like that. Panavizharov noticed him and immediately walked over to him and said to him, are you so-and-so? So he's like, yeah. Oh, I don't believe it. A Jew in the airport. He grabs him and he hugs him. He said, I'm so happy to see a Ben Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And he says, Panavizharov, he knew who he was. I goes, you know who I am. You ever read my articles? He said, doesn't matter. You're one of Hashem's children. And he hugs him again. This man later wrote in his memoirs that a lot of the hatred that he had for Frum of Yidden went down many, many, many degrees because of that. And he even changed a lot of his ideology later. I don't know exactly who this person was. The story was said over here in the shul by the Rav. So there's a way how to handle every single Jew, even the one who's the furthest away. So the only way that Golus is going to come to an end, it's going to come to an end whether we like it or not, but the way it's going to come to an end in a peaceful and in a merciful way is if we lend a hand, if we do something about it. And everyone's guilty in certain ways, at least myself. No one's perfect when it comes to Shalom and Achdus and Machloikus. I don't think there's anyone who could say that I never, ever, ever was involved in any Machloikus whatsoever, not with my wife or kids or relatives. We all have what to work on. Pinchas is rewarded that he becomes Eliyahu Malach HaBris. Eliyahu's goal is going to be to make peace. As it says, Ein Eliyahu Ba Loila Rachek Ve Loila Karev El Alasa Shalom Ba Oilam. So Eliyahu's coming to make peace. The Heshev Leif Avais Albanim Ve Leif Banim Al Avais. He's going to bring families together, end the generation gap, bring all Jews together. After, we see today many, many Jews who are coming back from all different situations that you would never believe that it would be possible that even such a Jew can return. So the Pasha itself fits the time. The time demands that we end that we fight Midyan, Madainu Meriva, that we end Machlaikas. And when we end Machlaikas, we're going to be Zeichet to the land of Keni, Knezi, Kadmoini, which is the other side of the Yarden, where Reuben and Gad took, which is what the Torah talks to us over here about. And as we enter Parshas Maaseh, we learn about the 42 stops that the Jews made on their way to Eretz Yisrael. And one of them, the Torah tells us here, Vayal Aaron HaKoyen El Hor HaHor Vayomas Shom. Aaron dies there, and the Torah tells us over here when he died, not in Parshas Chukas, where it talks about his death. Here it says it, which is another indication that the Torah has to do, that which we read at a given time has to do with that time. Chukas is never read in Av. Maaseh is always read in Chodesh Av. Here's what the Torah chooses to tell us, that Aaron HaKoyen passes away b'chodesh hachamishi b'echad b'chodesh. That doesn't answer the question why the Torah talks about it at all. The Torah does not repeat the death of Miriam. So why does the Torah talk about Aaron's yahrzeit right now? Why are we talking about Aaron's yahrzeit? Rosh Chodesh Menachem Av is the yahrzeit of Aaron. Maybe the answer is again the same idea. Aaron is the Ayyav Shalom, the Rayyav Shalom, Ayyav Sabrius, and Makar from the Torah. The minhag is on a yard site, you talk about the tzaddik. Besides that, you have brunfin and some cake. You talk about the person, you learn from the person. On the hilula of a tzaddik goes up a madrega, especially if we learn from him. He has an aliyah. The neshama has an aliyah. Everyone always wishes the neshama should have an aliyah. What does that mean? The neshama should have an aliyah. What about us? And we should have a Yerida. What is the Neshama? The Neshama has an Aliyah if we have an Aliyah. If we emulate and follow that individual, whoever that is, whoever Yard, tonight's the Yard side of the Yismach Moshe. Yismach Moshe was known for tremendous Tzipisal Yeshua, similar to the Chofetz Chaim. When he would hear noise, he would run out with his stick because he always thought the Geula was happening. So we can learn from him Tzipisal Yeshua, among many things we can learn from the Yismach Moshe. Aaron HaKoyen, the Torah itself tells us that the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos itself tells us what Aaron was all about. Aaron is Hoid. Hoid is the fifth Mida. Chesed, Gevurah, Teferes, Netzach, Hoid. That's Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aharon. Just like we spoke, Moshe is Tammuz. Aaron is Hoid, is Av. The Mida of Hoid, Hoid means Hoidah, which means to be able to admit. Why is there Machlaikas? Why do people hate each other? Why is there Lashon Hara? Because of Gaiva. Because people cannot recognize, people cannot admit that they did something wrong or said something wrong. They can't apologize. Hoid means hoidah, maidim, tashem, of course, but also to want to each other. The midah, that's lag ba'omer, is hoid shebahoy, because lag ba'omer is the epitome. Lag ba'omer is the day when they stopped dying because they came to the recognition that that's why they died, the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva, who incidentally were the neshamas of the 24,000 who died because of Maisa Shittim, which is from Shevet Shimon, which Shimon's chet was machlokes, going back to the story of Yosef and the brothers. So learning from Aaron, whose midah was hoid, says the Gemara in Brachas, v'ha-hoid zuhi beis hamikdash. Now, Av is the fifth month. Av corresponds to hoid. Nisan is Chesed, Iyar is Gevura, Sivan is Teferis, that's Matan Torah, Tammuz is Netzach, and Hoid is Av. Says the Gemara, Hoid is Beis HaMikdash, that means this month is Beis HaMikdash month. That's why we lost it in this month. The fact that we lost it in this month only means that this is the month in which we were supposed to get it, and that we are going to get it. As the Alkut Shemoni says in Malachim, that the month of the Lion, this is the month, Mazel Aryeh, is when we're going to be Zeichet to the Beis HaMikdash, which is called Ariel. It's called Lion, the Mizbeach is called Lion, and this is Mazel Aryeh, the month Leo, the Lion, especially after Chamisha Asa B'Av. But why do we have to wait till Chamisha Asa B'Av? So if Tisha B'Av, Leil Tisha B'Av is going to be the Seder, it's going to be another Seder, but there's going to be a Haggadah, where we're going to discuss the Nisim of the Neflois of the Geula, which are going to surpass those of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kimei Tzeischam Eretz Mitzrayim, Arenu Neflois, as we mentioned today, what the Reb Chaim of Sanz, the minhag of Sanz is not to throw out the kinnus like many do. Many have that minhag, and minhag Yisrael Toiru. But after Tisha B'Av is over, they take the kinnus, either throw it on top of the Aron Kodesh, or they bury it. That's why if you'll ask the people who own the Judaic the Svarim stores, this time everyone is buying Eicha or kinnus. Why? They don't have last year's. You don't find that. I mean, people buy Haggadahs before Pesach, that's true, but usually, Svarim you have from the year before, Slichas. You don't throw your Slichas out after Yom Kippur. You put it away for next year. Or you rely on the Shul as. But for some reason, kinnis, because the minhag used to be in many, many places, that they, after the Tisha B'Av is over, emunah, no more Tisha B'Av, there's not going to be another one, what am I putting it away for? I'm not going to ever say this again. They would bury it. You can't throw it in the garbage. They would bury it. In Sanz, the minhag was, no, keep it. Because when Mashiach's going to come, we're going to say the same Eicha and the same kinnis, but in a totally different tune. And the words will be turned around. It's a Machzedek, actually, wrote a Sefer, or Yahil, Rishimus on Eicha, where he shows that every Pasuk in Eicha is really Geula. Every Pasuk in Eicha, you already saw how Eicha has in it already the future Geula. So we're going to lay in Eicha like we lay Megillus Esther. Megillus Esther and Eicha really have the same tune. It's just that Eicha is slow and Esther is fast. If you think about it, it's really the same in music. It's mamish the same notes. So then we're going to lay Leil Tisha B'Av, everyone will go to Shul to hear the Megillah. I'm not saying for sure it's going to be that way, but it could be it'll be that way. Purim, everyone runs to hear the Megillah. Tisha B'Av, we're going to run to hear the Megillah. So now we don't run to hear the Megillah. We're not, we walk slowly to hear Eicha. We're not really too excited. But then we'll be very excited to hear Eicha, and there's no Haman to bang. We'll bang by the names of all the Rishoyim that we have to suffer from Ad Hayoim. And Eicha will be lained with a beautiful tone. Fast, not slow, with Simcha. All these Psukim and all these Piyutim will end up being Megillus of Sosain and Simcha. If we do what we're supposed to, Aaron's Midah is Hoid. Hoid is Beis HaMikdash. We're going to get the Beis HaMikdash by excelling in the Midah of Hoid, which is Oyev Shalom, Veroidev Shalom, Oyev Asabrius, and Makarv on the Torah. And the Torah tells us that Aaron was 123 when he died. Also, that's not discussed in Parashas Chukas. Here, the Torah tells us how old he was. Now, the Rambam in Hilchas Chanukah, the Rambam talks about Hallel. So there the Rambam brings down from the Yerushalmi and Shabbos that all the Hallelukas together is 123. Kemisper Shnoisav Shal Aaron. They all ask, what does that have to do? What does Aaron's years have to do with the Hallelukas that we say on Pesach or Hanukkah, whenever it is? Hanukkah we can understand, perhaps Matis Yohu is an anical of Aaron HaKoyen. Otherwise, what's the connection? But maybe the Rem is also is, if you emulate Aaron, all you're going to be doing is praising and thanking and singing, because you're only going to have good. If you live a life of peace, you're an Ayyav Shalom and a Rayyav Shalom. It's just going to be Hallelujah, like they say, Hallelujah all the time. And all 123 Hallelujahs. Va'aron ben Shalosh ve'eshrim ma'as shana b'maisei ba'arahor. So there we come to the last pasuk. This is how we started off. The last pasuk is the chizuk. The chizuk is that we know we're holding ba'arvis mayav al yarden yerecha. We finally came to the last stop. There's no more. It's over. This is it. We could see the other side already. We see Eretz Yisrael. Today we actually see Eretz Yisrael. We were zeichen in the last 60 years to actually see Eretz Yisrael. You can actually visit Eretz Yisrael today, and it takes 9.5 hours, like the 9.5 days of Avelis. It takes 9.5 hours. That's all it takes to get there. It used to take months. Yeah, Meisa Nefesh, people with Meisa Nefesh to go to Eretz Yisrael. Today it's 9.5 hours to get there. It's a schus that we have today. We can actually see it, like a little taste of what's coming. It's not the Geula yet, but it's a taste of what's coming. That's what we're holding. It's the end. Chazak, chazak, v'niz chazek. As long as Eila HaMitzvahs v'HaMishpatim, because we keep to the Torah no matter what, it's difficult. Yardain is like the last Yorad Dun. The Svarim say Yarden has the word Din in it, because the end of Golus is Din. It's difficult. We're living in a very difficult time, but Yerechai is Yerichai. We already see the city that across the Jordan River is Yerichai. That was the first city that they conquered. Manula Shal Eretz Yisrael. Yerechai is Meramazan Mashiach, of whom it says Vaharichai Biyiras Hashem. He will be able to judge people by merely using the sense of smell, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. So that itself gives us chizuk, knowing that we're holding Mamish Ot by the end, and the great year Tovshin Ayin Vav is coming. Tavshin Ayin Vav is Begematria exactly Bias HaMoshiach. How many times have Jews used that phrase? The phrase Bias HaMoshiach is in our lingo for at least 2,000 years. Ani Mamin Be'emunah Shalema BeBias HaMoshiach. There's not one Jew, no matter what group he belongs, that hasn't used that phrase Bias HaMoshiach. That's equal to Tavshin Ayin Vav. Kol right feha hisiguha bein amitzorim. Hisiguha bein amitzorim is equal to Bias HaMashiach. That means the whole reason why there's a Golus and why we had to suffer all these years is only because of Bias HaMashiach. The Golus is because of the Geula. The Churban is because of the Binyan. It's all to prepare us. It's a tikkun. It's like the Gehenna prepares us for Gan Eden. It's a cleansing process. Galus itself is not the goal. The goal is that leads to Geula. Galus is to prepare for Geula. Hisigua ben Hamitzarim is to bring the Bias HaMashiach, which will happen when Shuvu Banim Shoivavim. Shuvu Banim Shoivavim is also equal to Tavshan Ayin Vav. Also equal to Bias HaMashiach. Shuvu Eliv Yoshuva Aleichem is also equal to Tavshan Ayin Vav. Elekei Avram, Elekei Yitzchak, Elekei Yaakov is also equal to Tavshan Ayin Vav. Many, many, many phrases throughout Tanakh. It's a major year that is coming. The Mitzvah Shvius Ben David Ba. The Gemara says, Chaim Kanievsky has seen on a video, if anyone wants, they could see it, where he's asked, and he says, this Mitzvah Shvius, by this Mitzvah Shvius Ben David Ba. And it's already, we're almost there. This year itself is a case. Tavshan Ayin Hei. Tisha B'Av. Tisha is Tavshan Ayin Hei. Maybe this Tisha B'Av we won't have to fast. Especially, we're not going to be fasting. Shabbos, we're sure not going to be fasting. But we shouldn't be fasting Sunday either. Because we should be Zeicher already. Dial it, Sarai Seinu. Klal Yisrael went through enough. Individual Tzaras. And every individual Tzara is also part of Chevelei Mashiach, as Tzadikim said. It's not just, it's all collective. Everyone's personal Tzara is all part of Chevelei Mashiach that eventually together brings Mashiach, brings the Gula, and everything makes sense, everything will be understood, and we should all be zeichet to that great moment, and that this Rish Chodesh Menachem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Menachem us, and we recognize that Hashem is Avinu Shebashamayim, and with zeichet to enter Eretz Yisrael Hashleima, all 10 Umayis, including Amayin Mayav and Edoim. When we end the Midyan, we end the strife, we end the reason why we're in Golus, and then we're Zaychatak to go from Arvis Mayav, from Al Yarden Yerechai, Chazak, we enter now into the Olam HaMashiach, who will teach us a new level of, just like Devarim is a new Sefer of Chumash, a new level of Torah, which comes after the last stop, so too after the last stop, after America, we enter into Eretz Yisrael, and we're Zaychat to Torah Zishol Mashiach, that we'll be Zaychat to all of that as soon as possible. Good evening.